Very fucking unprofessional.
Block letters, sky dweller. All my hoes red, but now they high yellow. Looking for my gun. It's on the sink right where I left it. Every promise I was supposed to keep, my nigga, I kept. 5'7", tucked in my mirrors while I'm Pyrex and high tech and stomping with the killers and the high steppers. I-7, parked in front of Speak, something like Tevin. Broke it down to RB, half a brick of Brock Les.
This is without a shadow of a doubt. D talking to town, what your town is talking about. I'm professional as fuck with your host Ruck. Episode 225.
Amazing, I'm a damn legend. Playing Jane Yachty, got all the watches with the right set. Kept the tradition. The cake's whiter than the night's wet. And my anniversary edition look good while I'm sad vet. I wrist like I'm jet ski, but my neck look like I'm ice.
It's that Nicholas Craven, Boldy James. Album came out last Friday. This joint called Early Worms Get Birds. Good to hear Boldy and Nicholas Craven working together again. I'm gonna cut this off real quick because I don't know if I mentioned it yet, but if I did, forgive me for doubling down. But reached out to Universal Music Group and acquired, you know, getting a blanket licensing agreement. Took some time for them to respond to me, but when they did, they let me know that they could offer a quarterly payment plan at $525 per quarter. That's every 3 months. And the term would have to be at least a year.
What the feezy?
I know what y'all thinking. All right, do some quick math. 2100, right? 21. Yeah, that's cool. But, nah. Definitely not going to be doing that. The reason being is because, you know, I know enough people who make music. I make music myself. There's another option. There's different routes you can go. There's other ways we could get this shit handled. But definitely going to be irritated when it comes time to try to let y'all know about the new music. Shit that's dropping early and often. I mean, it took some time. It was at least like 3 weeks since the end of last year where every time I'll go to Tidal and I, you know, look at the new albums that dropped, it would be the same shit. It really wasn't that dope to me, so I was like, fuck, it's slow. But as the new year came around, some people have kicked up, some people have dropped some shit. I guess we could start right there real early with it. Speaking of 21, new album dropped last Friday, American Dream.
See my shooter pescatarian, but he eat up all the beef. 21. You gave me your ass to kiss, but want the all of me. I stand on beamers, dot my eyes and cross my T's. All I got is these little pictures when I think about all the G's. 21. Memories in my head, the devil talking to me. Oh, I know Satan down that path, but God walking with me. Put your phone light in the air if you done lost a nigga. 21. Kept it solid, ran up.
Rest in peace, my brother Joe. Happy birthday, fam. 21.
Whoa. Bulletproof my car. Yeah. He a homebody, fuck it, kill him in his yard. Yeah.
15 tracks. Features from Metro Boomin, Mariah the Scientist, Burna Boy, Brent Fryaz, Summer Walker, Travis Scott, Lil Durk, New Young Thug. And a track that really caught me off guard, I didn't really realize who this was until I looked back at the track list, but 21 Savage, Doja Cat. This track called N-H-I-E. Now y'all know, if y'all follow me on socials, I talk a gang of shit about Doja, I have in the past, but I ain't really listening to too much of her music.
That ain't something I would do. Hell nah, let you slide like it's.
I'm gonna tell you instantly when I started hearing this album, because I woke up, you know, and I'm driving for work and I see that this album had dropped. I've never, you know, I got a confession, never really listened to a full 21 Savage album. I would hear, you know, the singles, the shit that comes out, and always knew that from that, you know, crop of people that came around during his time, that he was one that stood out. Definitely talented. And, you know, I could see the reason why Drake would attach himself to him, you know, do the tour, do the joint albums. But when I listened to this album, it caught me off guard. I'm like, damn, this shit actually, you know, dope. The production, the you know what you're going to get from 21. Is he super lyrical, miracle? No, but the flow, the feeling. To me, I was like, all right. Then I started listening to other people react to the album, and they're telling me this ain't even his best joint. So now I gotta go back in the catalog and really peep out some 21 Savage albums. But I'm telling you right now, this one's worth the listen. That Doja Cat feature that caught me off guard. I didn't know who the fuck this was, but I definitely went to the credits to try to find out. We got new music from Griselda as well, at least more singles. I don't know if I'm a fan of this or not. Not talking necessarily about the song, but when people are going to drop an album and then they just continuously drop single after single after single. I think this is either the third or fourth that we've got off of this Everybody Can't Go album that's coming from Benny the Butcher, Griselda affiliate. First Def Jam album, Def Jam debut. As of now, supposed to drop on January 26th. It's the latest single, Braun. Just real quick, because I'm telling you.
I ain't even going to count down for you niggas. The butcher coming. I'ma surprise you niggas. I've been on so long, people starting to hate it, they feel scorned. I see the looks on all their faces and I'm torn. It's like, I ain't wanna do this, but if it gotta be a shoe, and I guess I'ma be the shooter you've been warned.
I'm in the all right. Bitch, y'all get the gist. I mean, Hit-Boy production, you can't really go wrong there. But the issue with me is right now it's trying to sound too crisp. It's trying to sound too polished. Not really something that I like from Griselda. And we always knew that if it was going to be one of the three, that was going to be Benny who lent himself to that soonest, right? But I've always fucked with Griselda for the fact that they're trendsetters, not trend followers. Not saying that this is necessarily inside of a box, but for me it just sounds too, I don't know, man. I can hear a bunch of different voices on this shit. Usually I like to hear, you know, I guess I'm stuck in my ways, Derringer type shit. Conductor, you know what I mean? I ain't mad at Hit-Boy production. They've made classics in the past, but definitely not one of my favorites thus far. I'd be remiss if I didn't let y'all know that the Book of Clarence dropped a soundtrack to the film out now. Everybody was hearing about this D'Angelo Jay-Z collaboration 10-minute song. You know, this is all you hear about for a week prior to the movie coming out. I didn't see shit about the movie, but I'm hearing D'Angelo Jay-Z 10 minutes. I'm so glad I ain't, you know, like come to this at 9 p.m. on Thursday. Maybe if I was still burning a tree. Speaking of, it's been 64 days, 9 hours, 45 minutes, and 5 seconds since the God sparked up. I know I ain't really been keeping y'all in tune with that, so I didn't want y'all thinking the boy's back on the back on the bag of bud. But no, that's the new high for me now is just looking at how long it's been. And over 2 months, definitely feeling the difference. We'll get to more of that on Patreon. Nobody really worried about that shit. I say that to say this, this is a joint that I definitely would have lit up to and just been waiting to see what Ho was talking about. Might have had to put it out when he got to his shit, though. Sorry, ho. This motherfucker better hurry up. See where he at with it.
In my champagne about you. Playing girl, you know I'm crazy about you.
Unprofessional.
You know that you ran back to your mama's house, asked my friend they can vouch. Slept on the couch, cause the bed ain't a bed without you. The
the songs looped up in my head.
They suck.
Sorry about that.
What the
fuck, Hov, man? Ain't nobody trying to hear this shit.
I got toxic traits. The cool cokes, the ghosts out my body got me straight.
Yeah, that's enough. There's more shit on here. I haven't even given it a listen. 11 tracks, features from Alice Smith, Kid Cudi, D'Angelo, Jay-Z, Georgia Smith, Kodak Black. Actually, I heard that this one was supposed to be hard. Doja Cat, Kodak Black, Jizu.
Jizu, protect my soul. Wash my sin and let me fly. Jizu, protect my soul. Wash my sin and let me shine. Mama, I have made my list. Papa, they will know your name. Oh, Jizu, protect my soul. Wash my sin and let me fly. Easy my road. Navigating.
Now, unfortunate news to report. Yo Gotti, Big Brother Juke, shot and killed after a funeral service in Memphis, I believe. 3 days ago, news came out letting people know that on Saturday in Memphis, Winchester Road, Yo Gotti's brother was gunned down. Violence just continuing. I know a lot of people feel a certain type of way about Yo Gotti and you know, some of the stigma that's been attached to him. Rest in peace, Young Dolph. That's what I'll say. I'll leave it at that. Never a fan of the shit just continuing, though. So, I mean, I want to send my condolences to the Gotti family. And you just hope that you don't hear continuous stories now. Retaliation, some more shit. Hopefully everybody could just, I don't know. Let's stay out of that because that's none of my business. You know what I mean? No, I'm late to the party, but I wanted to let y'all know about this. You know, we had been talking about it before when the homie Pete was on the pod. We were talking about the Keith Lee visit. He was coming to the Bay Area. And that's happened since. It came real quick, you know what I mean? First, I seen people were like, yo, you got to go here, you got to go there. And then, of course, his visit happens. He shows up, goes to a few places, and it didn't really go well for the Bay, man. It wasn't a good look. And it was for multiple reasons. I know I'm late to the party, but I do want to play some of this because the shit was just embarrassing to me. And let's start all the way back here.
The area stop on the Keith Lee and Family food tour is officially over. Prematurely. And we're going to get straight into it. Let's talk about it. There are a few reasons why, as a family, we decided to end the food tour short. But before I get to that, I truly want to say from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate every single bit of love. The people of the Bay were absolutely amazing. And I'll never forget the hospitality and the love that y'all showed me. Reason number one, I truly don't believe the Bay is a place for tourists right now. Damn. And that's what I was, a tourist. The people in the Bay are just focused on surviving. That's the business owners, the locals. The amount of tents and living structures and burnt up cars that we saw people living in was shocking, to say the least. Before we went, people was comparing it to Gotham City. Now, I might not agree, but I understand where it's coming from. But I can't harp on it enough that the people are amazing. It's just an environment. And as an outsider, I wish the city would step in. I don't know if they have. I don't know if they've been trying. But just from the outside looking in, it don't seem like it was much city interference. Reason number two, and this is in no particular order. We went to a lot of restaurants. Popular restaurants, not popular restaurants, mom and pop shops. And this is the first city where I have over 6 videos that I don't feel comfortable with posting. Because nothing about my experience was constructive. And nothing that I said was constructive. I've always been big on honesty. I've always been big on transparency. But I've never been big on completely tearing down anybody. And I feel like those 6 videos only doing that. And I've always said, I'm absolutely blessed to do this, but it does take a lot of money. It does take a lot of resources to do. At the moment, everything comes out of pocket. So when we had that many restaurants that we couldn't do anything with, that was just another deciding factor. Number three, and probably the most important, I had to go to the hospital because I had an allergic reaction to one of the meals I had. This restaurant in particular cooked a plethora of meats, including shellfish. My family specifically asked if they cooked it on the same grill. They said yes, but they would clean it. The second I ate it, I blew up like a balloon. I had to get some steroids and some allergy medicine and it cleared right up. But it was a health concern nonetheless, and that was another reason why we decided to go home. I also think the Bay wasn't the target audience for what it is that we do. 90% of restaurants that the locals said had great food was already booming, and the people from the Bay are a loyal community. So if your food is good, the line gonna be out the door already. And then again, we went to some of those restaurants and I wasn't a huge fan. And even if I did like all of the food at the busy spots, that's never been my MO to just go to busy spots. So those are the reasons why we decided to cut it short. But nonetheless, some amazing things did happen while we were there. Chef Green's was one of the restaurants that I went to, and he had a new segment the day after we left. God is amazing. Mama T's also joined that category with a new segment the day after we left. God is amazing. And one of the places that we went that I didn't get a chance to post was a highlight of our trip. The name of it was Luxurious Cuisines. Customer service is absolutely amazing. And the food wasn't too far off of that. We went in as a family and we left for a $2,000 tip. So the trip itself wasn't all in vain. And again, I appreciate every single person that I met. I want to stress, it is not normal for us to go to restaurants, not like it, and not post it. Any other time we ran into the situation, I've always had some kind of constructiveness to say. This was just different. And again, I'm always going to be transparent. I'm always going to be honest. Thank you again to everybody in the Bay Area. We'll be headed to the next spot soon. God bless you. Have an amazing day. Y'all be safe. Unfortunately, the Bay.
That's a wrap. Oh, man. What can you say? It's embarrassing, right? I mean, there's some shit that's out of your control. Hold on. Fuck on. Some shit's out of your control. Like, okay, bro gets food poisoning. Is that on the people? No. I mean, yeah. He asked ahead of time, or the family asked ahead of time. You clean the grill. They say yes. But for one person, I could see somebody in the Bay being like, sorry, bro. Now, for him to say that he went to all these places, didn't feel right posting it, and the video begins with him talking about just the situation in the Bay, comparing it to Gotham City, whatever the fuck that means. On top of that, you know, he's talking about the homeless situation. I'm sure he's seen way more drug activity than he would have liked to with his family out here and whatnot. The bipping situation, not knowing if he was a victim of that, but I know that he followed it up with more videos basically talking about how he doesn't want to have to be walking around with somebody that's a celebrity from the spot in order to get a certain type of treatment or in order to be good in the hood or whatever the fuck he's saying, right? Unfortunate to say the absolute least, but he did take back the social media to clear some things up that I guess had been on his mind. Here goes the second video from Keith Lee.
Experience in the Bay Area have been misconstrued, so let's talk about it. I got this mask on because my allergies are still flared up. Number one, we didn't leave because of violence. At one point did we feel threatened or scared. We didn't get ran out of nowhere. I gave a list of reasons of why we left early, and one of those reasons is because I said I don't believe the Bay is fit for tourists at the moment. And I said this specifically based on the spots that we had went to and the areas that we were in. I don't think any of the spots that we personally went to were conducive of a 5 to 6 hour wait time, especially with people coming directly off the plane. And when I say people, I mean tourists. I don't think they were conducive of coming straight off the plane and going and waiting to these lines. As a tourist, I wouldn't wait outside 3 or 4 hours in any of those areas. Not to say people don't or people shouldn't. I just say, in my personal opinion, it didn't seem conducive. And I believe that message is synonymous with the locals, because before we went, a lot of people were stressing the conditions of the Bay at the moment. News articles, locals, people that I spoke to on a daily basis. Number two, we went to a lot of cities. We didn't just go to Oakland and San Francisco. We went to 6 or 7 different cities. I didn't name those specific cities because there's only a few restaurants that were recommended from those cities. And if I named the specific city, people will be able to figure out what restaurant I went to and didn't enjoy the food, and they would go bully those specific restaurants, even off of just guessing. So I didn't want to put random restaurants at risk of being bullied and get negative reviews from people who've never been to that restaurant. But yeah, we went to other spots that wasn't Oakland, wasn't San Francisco. We went to the Bay. We went to trucks. We went to brick and mortars. We went to Michelin star restaurants. We went to a lot of places. And I personally wasn't a fan of a lot of places that we went to. And I said in a previous video, it was to a point where I wasn't constructive. Now, if I don't like the food, or if I don't like the customer service, or I don't like the experience, and I can still be constructive, I will be. And I've always been that. I've always been transparent with that. But this is the first time where I feel like I didn't have that, so I didn't do it. Number three, I'm not a food influencer or a content creator. I'm Keith. A lot of people were implying that I don't do enough research or I should have a food tour guide when I go to these cities. I'm a normal person, and our food tour has been guided for normal people. It hasn't been guided for people who can reach out to the number one food influencer in each city or a celebrity in each city that could be a personal tour guide for them. I want you, my mom, my family, and whoever else don't got 50 million followers to have a good experience in these places. And I'm not going to tell you I'm having an amazing experience only based on the perks that I get with having 50 million followers. But I want to be very clear. I'm not saying I'm not tapped in or I don't do my research and watch the biggest food influencers of each city. I do. I do a lot of research. I watch a lot of videos. And as of late, with the last 2 stops, it just so happened that I have reached out to some people. But these are people that I genuinely respect and people that I actually want to meet in real life.
Can I improve? Absolutely. Is there more research to be done? Absolutely. But do I feel like I should have to have a tour guide or the biggest celebrity or the biggest food influencer of each city to have an enjoyable time? No.
This is the last point that I'll touch on. Right now, we are in the research stage of doing a food tour. We are in the very beginning of the food tour. It literally just started 6 months ago. We are using this time to polish it and refine what it is that we do. So if we are blessed enough to have a TV show, we can know what works for us and what don't work for us. So that way, when we do go to these networks, we are solid in our foundation. So I can still authentically be myself, just on a bigger platform. And past all of that, I always say, I'm a vessel of God. I truly believe I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And if you disagree with me and you don't like me,
I fully get that. And I'm not mad at you. I'm really not. Again, the people in the Bay were amazing. I'm going to say it again. It's unfortunate that my allergy flared up. But I never once did the entire trip to the Bay as a fail or a disappointment.
All right, that's now, enough. I don't want to hear none of that shit. Hearing this now makes me want to go check out this motherfucker's UFC fights or whatever kind of MMA he was involved in. Bro, I still had the mask on, said my allergies are still flared up. Oh, man, it's unfortunate, man. And it's not 100% on Keith Lee. It's not 100% on one specific city of the Bay. It's just all around unfortunate. Like you said, it's not for tourism, man. And that's some whack shit. Think about all the money that's being lost. I mean, we look at all these malls that are now shut down or ghost towns due to the fact that people ain't paying for shit. They run in, take whatever the fuck they want. And security that's there is not, you know, getting paid enough to go deal with some bullshit like that. So it's kind of no holds barred out here, man. It's looking real GTA-ish and unfortunate that not more people were able to get experience and you know, notoriety and blessed. Like he said, he did leave a $2,000 tip at one spot. She was in the video. You can visually see her looking, you know, ecstatic. On top of that, a couple of people got news segments, which he said, you know, in the Bay, if it's booming, they're already there. But this might intrigue people from the surrounding areas or somebody who's going to come visit shortly to want to go check out these spots. So there are a few little bright spots in this whole visit. To me, got a little dramatic. I'm understanding you ain't just trying to shit on establishments. If nothing really nice to say, don't say nothing at all, I guess is the old saying and whatnot. But I think the constructive criticism that could have came is what you think as a tourist could be done to make shit more feasible for people trying to come out and spend some money. The problem right now is motherfuckers don't have no type of how can I say this? People are risking a whole lot for a little bit of a reward. Like, look at the Bippin situation. Am I from, you know, that era of people running into shit like that? Like, no, but you going into a car with the hopes that maybe there's something in there that you want. Now, if there's something visible, clearly seen, you know, from the window, and you go do your thing, whatever, I guess, whatever. But all of this just, you know, I don't know, man. It's sad, to be honest, because nobody really has any sense of value in themselves enough to not want to go do some shit that they could potentially lose their life on for what? For some trinkets? For a laptop? Somebody's cell phone? Like, what is it that you really think you're going to achieve from here? And I guess if there's no repercussions, nobody's getting caught, nothing's really happening other than people, you know, might pull a camera phone out, see you masked up, and then, you know, go from there. But it's whack, because this is just one aspect of what's going on and why people don't want to go spend time in the Bay. It's to the point now, and this may rub people the wrong way, but if a tour is coming out or maybe a comedian that I want to see and I'm going out with my wife, I'm like, man, we can wait till they hit SAC. And that's fucked up, because I would love to go, you know, see a show at the Fillmore. Boss about to be at the Fillmore from Dreamville. Doesn't have a Sacramento date. There's like a Santa Ana date, you know, some other bullshit. It's to the point to where you'd rather go anywhere else. Where are you going to park the car? You're going to stay in a hotel? You want to walk around after that? What, you going to walk over human shit? Right past the fentanyl addicts that are slumped over? Fuck around, see prostitution, domestic violence on the street? I know. It might sound fucking like I'm hating. But at the age that I'm at, I'm not really trying to go deal with none of that. I'll keep it 1,000 with you. It's just not worth it. You know, shout out to my sister. She said, you know, on her Facebook that she had some money breaking in her car. It's just the nature of the beast right now. And it's fucked up for all these, you know, vehicle owners come outside, see this shit not only broken, it's a mess, it's a repair that you got to deal with now. But on top of that, it's just that feeling of somebody had been in your shit. You know what I mean? It don't feel like your shit anymore. If anybody's ever had their house broken into or a car or something stolen, whether you were a kid and somebody took something out your locker at school or whatever it may be. There's that sick feeling in your stomach, like you wanna fuck somebody up first and foremost, but on top of that, just feel violated and it ain't right, man. Y'all gotta do better. Everybody gotta do better. Think about all the money that's being lost. Think about all these businesses that are shutting down. He's talking about, you know, certain businesses were open from 3 to 6 and they took a break at 4:30. They're closed this day, that day, and this day. I don't know. A lot of money to be left on the table. It's the way that I feel about over here in Tracy shopping wise. Like, they don't want to have any kind of mindset of fixing the mall or creating an actual mall. They got this bullshit shopping center where a Macy's could fail at. It's fucked up. So now, if you want to do some shopping, whether it be Christmas time or the kids who still go out to the mall and whatnot, they want to go to Modesto, they want to go to Pleasanton, they want to go to anywhere else other than stay here and spend money. So your money's leaving your city, going somewhere else, which means while they're out, they're eating and patronizing restaurants and businesses that are not your own. It's foul. Even dispensaries. Is there one or two that popped up? Yes, but there was supposed to be 4 or 5. And even then, you know what I mean? A delivery service, that's cool. I know more often than not, people who want to go purchase their tree, they want to pull up. They want to see the selection. They want to, you know, look at what it's looking like. Does this shit look dry? What's it, you know, somebody sometimes they'll open the shit up for you, get a little whiff or whatever you're dealing with. But, hey, man, it's just merely my opinion, my thoughts on the thing. Shit's pretty fucked up. Got to get better. You got to do better. And hopefully, you know, be able to rectify the situation at some point. On a lighter note, you know, just do some recaps, man. I initially set up this doc, was going to do this show with Pete. But, you know, I don't really fuck with Google Docs. For the simple fact, I like to have my shit physically written down. I got all these books put to the side of, you know, just how it started from season one to season now. And, well, fuck it, I'll go through the doc. A lot of shakeups at work lately, and I'm not going to get too much into it. But, you know, before the latest shakeup, I had been writing, you know, just about personal wins at work because I wanted to kind of give an update. I know I came here and slightly, I don't want to say bitched, but you know what I mean? I was kind of heated at the way this shit had went down at a review that came. And, you know, kind of felt like, how could somebody get a good grasp on what you're doing when you're really the only one on the island working, being that my company is stationed out in Romeoville in Illinois, right? But there are ways around that. So when you're working with your actual people that you see on the daily, points of contacts at these accounts, it was just, you know, dope for a few weeks now. To kind of just get that morale back, get rejuvenated, get a new sense of, you know, just always had a sense of pride in the work that I do no matter what I'm doing. But now it's just more so like, all right, man, the recognition may not come from where it's going to be beneficial to you in the instant, you know, overnight fucking instant gratification. But when you know that the people that you deal with on a daily basis know the makeup of who you are as an individual and the kind of work that you put through, you got to just focus on that, which I have been. You know, holding myself accountable, remaining consistent at work, and same thing, like I said, on Patreon that I'm going to be doing with this pod. So for those of y'all who, you know, have kind of been like, what's up with the inconsistency? I've been trying to focus a lot of my attention, a lot of my podcast work on Patreon. And I don't want to sound ungrateful to those of y'all who listen to the regular show, but the truth, you know, just the simplest way to put it is the folks who are patronizing on Patreon and, you know, become patrons and support the brand are those who are enabling this shit to continue. The ones who really hold me accountable of having to meet my quotas, get shit done, you know, make sure that they got a nice selection and keep growing the catalog over there. But in order to get anybody to go over that way, you got to remain consistent, you know, where they can get you on an easier platform. So to the DSPs, the new record days for me will remain Tuesday and Friday across the board. Thinking about maybe putting the sports show onto DSPs, maybe early access on Patreon. I don't know. Still thinking about it. I say all that to say this, like, I really feel like the better shows are on Patreon. It's just more, you know, this is off the cuff now, but when you talk about Patreon, it's more so just the content that's already been consumed and taken in. You're not having to think about what you're about to say. This shit just rolling off the tongue. And you know, you're just speaking your thoughts, and it's a lot more organic. Whereas here, whether you're working with somebody or by yourself, you know, you want to have it more structured, more of a method to the madness. On top of that, man, been recording music again. Another tidbit of information that's well known by Patreon subscribers lately, due to the fact of, you know, the what I told you about with the Universal Music Group or whoever the fuck it may be, ASCAP, BMI, those who want to come at you for using music on a pod. I've been going around that on Patreon. I've just been releasing, whether, you know, in the beginning it was old shit, but recently I've been dropping, you know, new shit that I've been working on, and different ideas and different projects and different snippets of songs and incompletes and completes, you know what I mean? Like, getting back on the music grind, man, because it's way more fulfilling. And, you know, it's one thing to sit, do a few freestyles and drop those or whatever, but lately been getting the pen back to work, putting the pen to the pad, and that shit has felt great, to be 100% honest with y'all. And then the result, the finished product that you get from there is way more gratifying than just some rambling on the beat. All that, you know, is dope. And the real highlight that I want to talk to y'all about is celebrating our brother, man, our brother Joe. Went by many names, man, Joe Baba to many. Over here, you know, where we at, DNA Affiliates, that's the homie Al Puccino. and 100% transparent, me and the homie Joey, we seen each other not too long ago when we got together as, you know, like a makeup day. We usually get together on a more sadder occasion, you know what I mean, the day that we all got the news that he was no longer with us. And missed it this past year, which would have been the 10th year. On day of, everybody was sick and under the weather. Something that we're not going to let stop the future, you know, get-togethers regardless. It's just, we don't have to deal with it. But we did make up the date, all get together, early December. And, you know, me and the homie Woods, me and my brother Joey Woods, we were talking and we were like, all right, birthday is coming up soon. What are we going to do? Now, to those who know Joe, y'all know Joe. To those who don't, this was the type of individual who would be all over the place, man. He's lived in damn near every state, different cities in each state, out of the country, vacationing, traveling, just leaving a mark anywhere he goes. And so you wouldn't always, you know, see your guy, but when you seen your guy, it was like riding a bike. The homie would show up from out of anywhere, give you a little bit of notice, sometimes none. Riding into town, wouldn't give a fuck if you and the homies had some kind of little issues that you were dealing with. All that shit would have to be ironed out. He wouldn't really give a fuck. We all gonna kick it. Come pick you up on a random day. Y'all get together and just have the time of your lives for however long he was out here. And it was just the glue. You know what I mean? Like that, like those specific people in your family who just make sure this shit continues to go the way it's supposed to go. That was exactly Joe's role in all of our relationships and in the friendships and the bonds that we had as extended family. And with that being said, me and Joey were like, yo, we got to make it happen. So we decided, you know, his birthday is going to be by the time y'all hear this Wednesday for the brother Joe, man. Tomorrow, definitely just going to spend the day reflecting and telling stories, you know, laughing and just celebrating his life, and then have the get together this Saturday. It's kind of impromptu, you know what I mean? Last minute, just threw the line out there and see, you know, who was going to, you know, take the opportunity to come through and slide and kick it. And it's last minute, and I don't want anybody who is unable to make it to feel a certain type of way. Of course, there's never going to be no hard feelings. We get it. You know what I mean? Life is what life is. It's busy. People got a lot of shit on their plate. 100% understandable. My whole thing is whoever can make it, more than welcome. So, of course, you know, the usual suspects will come through. We'll all be getting together. And it don't matter if it's a party of two or a party of 200. As many as us can't get together and just feel the homie's presence with us once again, that's really what it's all about. With that being said, went to his Facebook page and just left a message on there basically saying, you know, because I know more people will see it there than they will on my feed. And just kind of threw it out there like, hey, man, get together Saturday, going to be at my spot. Anybody who wants to come through, let me know. You know, I'm going to double check with y'all. Throughout the week, get a confirmation, get kind of a head count, and see where we go from there. A blessing of is the those who did respond, including, you know, let's go back, man. I spent a lot of my time, man, with my extended family and their family. So to put it in perspective, I mean, I got family bonds. I was so blessed to have family bonds with so many other different people and their mothers and their fathers and, you know, another, you know, mother of mine, mother figure of mine, you know, Joey's mom, you know, Joey, Jack, Angie. I spent so much time, you know, over there at this spot. Always created a safe haven for us to chill and kick it. And she was definitely going to be one of the first to hit back and was like, you know, we're definitely going to pull up. I'm like, yeah, that's dope. You know what I mean? Always been a part of it. Anytime that we've ever done anything, it's always shown up, always come through, and always kicked it. And just, you know, it's like the good old days when we all used to be over there. And I was just dope to see. And then blew me away to Joe's aunt responding. Just another great person, man. That always been so kind, always been so welcoming. I just mentioned it to my wife, and she didn't see any of the messages or anything, right? But instantly knew, because we had gone to games that we get together for Joe, tailgates, back when the game was in Oakland. For the Raider games, we would get together, and she went with me on the last one that happened here in California, and, you know, quickly just described, and she's like, oh, yeah, you know what I mean? And it's just so dope, man. It's such a blessing to be able to be surrounded by those who not only knew Joe, but those, you know, related to Joe, and just all of us who had love for the guy, and be able to let him know that 10 years later, we're still out here rocking like we have always, man. Like, nothing's changed. And just can't wait to be surrounded by loved ones, man, and celebrating such an amazing person. So to my brother Joe, you know, I'm going to have an extended conversation with you throughout tonight, tomorrow, the rest of the week, and as I always do. But, you know, words are my thing, man, and I can't quite put it into words the impact that you made on not only me, but so many. It's selfish to think about how you not being here affects me, because there's so many affected. But one of the things that bothers me the most, man, is that you weren't able to see the maturation, at least not in the physical form. You weren't able to come through and kick it with me, the wife, and the kids, and just let them see one of my closest partners who was just, you know, 100% genuine. But like I said, tomorrow will be a day of reflecting, of sharing stories, of, you know, cracking jokes and getting laughs off, and just celebrating the individual that you are. And that will continue throughout the weekend, through the rest of my life and past that. So much love to you, bro. And can't wait to celebrate you on your day.
Yeah, pour a little liquor for your homies, nigga. This one here go out to my nigga Mike Cruz.
I got the fat one for this.
How you doing, man?
I started young, kicking dust, man. Living rough, you watch your mouth around my mama, you couldn't cuss, man. I had a tail ass homie, though. We ran the streets and on the scene at the age of 14. I packed a 9 and my nigga packed a 45. We drinking 40s, little shorties, living on the lives. You couldn't stop us, long as I got my Glock, fuck the coppers. Hanging on the block, slanging rocks and making profits. I couldn't fuck with the school like I was a fool. I blame the motherfucker for a tube, man.
Cat Williams got the whole world going crazy, man. The Cat Williams effect, not only just from the Club Shay Shay interview. I know y'all been sitting on that Cat and Off episode for some time now, but I mean, since that internet breaking interview, it's kind of inspired a lot of people. We've seen the responses that came directly from that interview, and you know, people clapping back at Cat. But it's kind of just set a chain reaction that's gone throughout. Stephen A. Smith jumped all the fucking way out the window. Something I definitely want to talk to y'all about. I had no idea that there was so much shit brewing between him and Jason Whitlock, former ESPN sports commentating cat. Was a part of certain shows in the past. I don't know if he worked directly with Stephen A., but there was this portion of the Stephen A. Smith show, the solo podcast that he does on his own YouTube. You can go through the YouTube files and go find it. But jumped all the way out the window. Vulgar language, I ain't never heard him speak. You could tell it was vigor behind it. The man was pissed off. Vengeance. just like everything he had to say came from a place of a complete fuck you to Jason Whitlock. I really do hope that y'all go check that shit out on your own. It's definitely something to peep out. I don't know what's going on, man. It's not only that. You see, you know, different personalities now. Everybody's taking shots. All of a sudden, everybody wants all the smoke. And to me, I'm going to say one piece on it, then I'm going to leave it alone. To me, some of it is genuine. Some of it is just looking like the clout chasers, where you see somebody capitalize off of it, whether it be Cat Williams now on his media run, going out, doing different tours, or, of course, the immediate beneficiary, right? Shannon Sharp. You get that interview with Cat. And in turn, you know, I think the last time I looked at it was at 49 million views. Just tripping me out, like, all right. 49 million views. And I talked about it on the last pod, the reasoning behind it. You know, a lot of those viral interviews are not really always for the best of reasoning. There's usually some shots being fired or some salacious shit that got, you know, everybody up in a frenzy. I think that if that's the route that you're going to go, it kind of loses some of its power when it's done after a Cat Williams type thing, right? Like, kind of seemed like he set the tone that everybody's just following suit. That's one way to look at it. That's how I look at it personally. And we shall see how she goes in the future, and if it continues this way. But the Cat Williams effect is definitely wild. Even more wild to me is this NBA YoungBoy clip that's going around the internet right now. Never been one of my favorite cats. Always to me just seemed like somebody that thought he was winning but was kind of getting taken advantage of. You talk about somebody who was in and out of the system so often, but was such a cash cow that the people who have a vested interest in this guy went out of the way to make sure that not only would they get him out of prison, but they would also put him somewhere while he's going through his probationary periods or whatever it is he's going through. They got this guy in a mountain somewhere, you know, secluded, isolated. None of the same characters that usually get him in trouble are over there. Just him and a select few people that they fuck with. I had no idea that this young man was the father of 11 children. And, you know, say what you say, you know, if you're able to be a great father to one child, who's to say you shouldn't bring another in this world? But at 11, I think somebody somewhere is going to be losing some of that one-on-one time that they should have. And then when you hear stories like this and what this guy had to express when asked about fatherhood, it's pretty disgusting.
You do have a lot of children, yeah. And you know, I've been around you to see in a short amount of time that you're a great father. How important is fatherhood to you, man?
I'm not really big on it, to be honest.
What the feezy?
What do you mean by that? You're not big on it? Like you're, you're, I mean, you're a family man. I'm here with you. I see it.
Yeah, but I'm only out. I'm only like in here because you live.
Oh, well, I don't believe
it. It's a crazy topic because I'm not the type like a sugarcoat nigga. But I'm four walls all day, every day.
When you say four walls, you mean locked in?
Yeah.
Just honed in on the music,
mm-hmm.
recording.
Yeah.
You can take the hat. I don't mind.
We bond a lot, but I'm mostly literally inside.
Working.
No.
But, you know, obviously.
No matter if I'm watching TV.
Some of the wackiest shit I've heard in quite some time. In the video, he's literally got one of his babies crawling on him. This is Bootleg Kev doing this interview. I guess he went to the location. Obviously, you can't have him come to you. And that's his response when asked about, you know, it seemed like Bootleg Kev's bigging him up. You know, you're a great father from what I could see. And yeah, but, you know, I don't really fuck with it. You know, I'm only here because you here. All right, bro. Shit like that to me is just the ultimate disrespect. You know, so many people in this world who weren't bestowed those type of blessings. There would be 1,000 times better father than you, better mother than you, whatever, either aspect that you want to look at it in, right? And you over here popping 11 now at the same time in and out of jail and out of the news for all the wrong reasons. A recent diss song at Charlamagne the God, like, you ain't got nothing better to do but sit out here and try to cause conflict, create chaos. And then where there is a moment where you could be humanized, you want to go out of your way to just sound like a complete piece of shit. I don't fuck with it. I don't fuck with young boy going forward. Never really fuck with you in the past either. But now even more so, it's just foul to me. You look stupid. You sound stupid. Don't know the ages of your children, but when they hear this shit or see this on the internet, not only are they going to feel like shit, but they're going to know exactly how big of a piece of shit you are. And I hope you're ready and prepared to deal with that. All the money in the world ain't going to save you from, you know, the bet that you made, and you're eventually going to have to lie in that. And, you know, it is what it is, man. Just had a talk the other day with my partner about just this whack-ass motherfucker, you know, that we know mutually, where everything's for the look. Clearly, you know, you want to be portrayed a certain type of way. You want to, you know, show certain aspects of life to make it seem like you're on the up and up. But anybody who knows you knows that you whack. We'll leave it at that. It's just trash, man. I don't understand how you can get blessed like this and be looking at shit like a burden. I don't understand how you could be NBA young boy, have all this paper, have all this shit at your disposal. You know, have time now where you are regulated to sit in one spot and, yeah, we bond, but I don't really fuck with fatherhood, you know. I don't really like it. And why are you fucking? Why are you fucking unprotected? Why you have 11 kids, man? Why you don't know how to pull out? Why you ain't, you know, get your shit snipped, something? I don't know. You trash. You got a lot of people who follow you and you say trash ass shit like that. Not everybody is of the mindset or smart enough to be able to sift through the bullshit. And unfortunately, man, it's just so sad to me. There's going to be 11 children who are going to grow up, see clips like that, or just feel it permeate off of you, and now going to have to deal with the fact that they're going to have to follow their father. Shit that too many of us know too much about. It's just a damn shame, man. So, fuck young boy. And that's just that on that, man. Thank God we still have good individuals out here who are doing positive shit, i.e. JID of Dreamville. Young artists who I think is head and shoulders above a lot of these young spitters these days. But on top of that, you can just tell he has his head on his shoulders the right way. Recently sat down to do an interview. They're talking about his viral song, Surround Sound. Was a slapper as soon as it came out. Now the TikTok challenges, the things wrapped around it, got it in a whole nother light, which is great for him. Enables him to go open up the doors and start doing different things. And recently he's announced that he's going to create a child book. The title of this book will be Asher the Ostrich and African Bird. In which, you know, his quote, and I am quoting, I'm still working on it, but it's about emotions that a child would go through. I'm loving the fact that he's going to add this to his legacy. I love the fact that even though we have to read about some dumbass individuals who have just shitty things to say about such a high honor, did you have a young man like JID who's looking out for the new generation, for the next, you know, plethora of children that are going to come out, or even just the young fathers that are around his age range, or even some of the older ones who can still learn from a young cat like JID and just where his focus is at. Definitely want to highlight whatever he's got going on for multiple reasons, man. Not only is he so talented in the music aspect of things, not only is he groundbreaking with just the different chances he takes musically, but he's just one of these people that I know for a fact is going to be around 10, 15, 20 years from now. And if he's going to continue to do great things like this, then we have a lot more to look forward to than just music. Salute to JID, to Dreamville, Cole, and the whole camp. Now, it's a little bit older, but I didn't really know about it, man. Cardi B and Offset's home was swatted. This is a new term that's come around that I've heard more often than I would like. I guess it's this shit of where people send out pranks, right? They call and make false reports to police and say, you know, certain person's, you know, been shot, or there's been a murder at this place, or there's an active shooter here, and it garners the attention of all the law enforcement in the area. The last victims were Cardi B and Offset. Their home in Sandy Springs, Georgia, was swatted after a false report of a shooting on the premises. Now, I guess this happened in August of last year. I don't know if I've seen it and just brushed over it, but it's come back to light because this is the growing trend. These youngsters and fans of celebrities making prank calls resulting in police action. The caller claimed that Cardi B was shot, and the response was having to say the absolute least. People could have been seriously hurt, if not killed, as a result of the response that came. You know, SWAT teams that set up a whole shit outside. They're ready to breach doors and go inside and get to the bottom of things. And thank God nobody was injured. I guess at the home at the time was only an uncle of Offset who came out and let them know, hey, man, I'm the only person here. Came out to be another one of these false reports, swatting as it's being called. I don't know, man. Sounds dumb as fuck to me. I can't get with these new trends, with this shit these kids are doing. I thought Cinnamon Challenge was stupid. I thought, you know, all this other dumb shit, the Tide Pods, you know, and I don't want to make light of that because I know some people got seriously hurt, if not worse. But kids, man, do some regular shit. Like, man. Imagine, you know, worst case scenario, and I want to knock on wood, and I definitely don't want to, you know, throw this out into the universe, but imagine if somebody was there, and, you know, it could have been anything. You could have heard loud noises inside. Maybe they're watching a sporting event, and, you know, you hear the reaction of people watching that. Maybe they're partying, and you just hear a bunch of sounds in the back. Now, police running out, guns drawn. Who's to say the people who live there aren't, you know, armed as well? To protect themselves, being that their celebrity status or whatever it may be. And now you get into a shootout with people over some bullshit that never needed to happen. Another scenario, maybe it's just one or two people there at the spot, but now they're caught off guard. They're scared. They do something reactionary, not even in a violence way, not even, you know, involving guns or none of that. But how often have we seen police, you know, get startled themselves and let some rounds loose and some shit happen? I don't know. I think there are some rumors floating around right now saying this could be certain different hives. So fans of certain other female rappers may be behind some of these false reports. I really hope that's not the case. And if that's the case, then I really hope whoever it is that these fans are doing this in their minds for goes to whatever platform they can to communicate with their certain selective, you know, group of fans, their hives per se, and let them know that this shit's just, you know, uncalled for and it's got to stop. thank God nobody, you know, was there that got hurt. Thank God, you know, this didn't escalate to nothing different. But then you also got to think about the other way around this, right? Imagine if something is actually happening in the Georgia area or the surrounding area of their Sandy Springs home. And now you've got so many people over here at this spot that the response is delayed, if it comes at all, to an actual situation that's going on. In these instances, man, every second counts. And for such a huge amount of their force, or, you know, forces that combine from different areas, different cities, different branches, right? It could just be the regular police, and the SWAT comes, and, you know, whatever it may be, you're taking all this attention away and putting it all focused in one area, and who knows what's happening in other places. I know I sound like the old man throughout this entire pod. It is what it is. At 38, I really don't got time for none of the bullshit. I don't want to put this on a specific female rapper who I think, you know, has been linked to it, because they have nothing to do with it. It's just crazy ass fans. Can't remember what that movie was called, but the one that was kind of I think it was on FX. I don't know if it was I don't know what it was. Maybe Hulu. One of these motherfuckers. Where it was basically supposed to be a roundabout way of kind of like they're depicting or doing a parody of maybe a Beyonce. And it just shows the fan, the crazy fan, and their actions and what, you know, what happens from there. I don't remember the name of the film. I'm sure some of y'all listening do. Even stuff like that could play into the minds of the youngsters, and they could be like, oh, I remember I seen this on that. All in all, I think if these false reports are being able to get linked back to a specific person, they need to be dealt with accordingly. And this ain't only happening to celebrities. You can go on YouTube right now and just see hella instances of maybe people who game, you know, they're on Twitch or whatever, and they offend somebody, and somehow, some way, their address is common knowledge, or somebody gets a hold of where they live or contacts somebody who knows them personally and gets their address or whatever it may be, and they'll be live on their fucking feed, you know, on Twitch or whatever it is that they use to broadcast. And then you'll just instantly see lights behind them, and or the response of somebody busting into the building or in the house, and you just see shit like this happen. And I guess to the people online, that's funny to them, but I mean, whatever happens is just doorbell ditching, motherfucker, man. Throwing the egg out of house, ringing the doorbell and dipping, like, good wholesome fun, right? That shit was dumb too, but in hindsight, when you look at the comparisons of what's going on these days, out of pocket. Definitely out of pocket. Tracy's kind of out of pocket recently too, man. At the time of doing these notes, it was 2 bodies in 5 days that were found in rural areas of Tracy. Since then, I guess in under 2 weeks, we now have our 3rd body. January 10th, the body was found near an irrigation ditch located along Tracy Boulevard. As of now, no foul play is believed to be involved. However, I think it determined that actually was the case. There was a woman who... I think she was from Fremont, a young lady lured out here on some type of social media or some type of online back and forth with another individual who knew that she was in a sensitive mental state. The young lady had suffered from paranoid schizophrenia, had a condition where she believed that at all times somebody was trying to do her harm or killer in her mind. Someone who knew this fed off of that and lured her over to this area, promising her a safe space where she would be protected. And in turn, it was that same sick individual who not only murdered this young lady, but left her, you know, on the side of a road. And I did see a GoFundMe come out from the family members saying, you know, needing help with the expenses and everything that goes along with the funeral costs. It wasn't just that. Another body was found. This one, I believe, was no foul play. I think it had something to do with just an unhoused individual and maybe the weather conditions or their age or whatever it was that they were ailing from. 3rd body, though. Found, I guess, off of Holly and Sugar Road out here in Tracy as well. Police responded to a vehicle in an accident. Then when they pulled up to the car, realized that a certain individual had been shot multiple times. This was a youngster. His name has been released, which kind of blew me away, because usually when it's under 18, they don't release the name. Out of respect for the family and the fact that we are this close, I'm not going to disclose it. But just to be 17 years old and have your life taken like that, it's insane, man. 17. And whatever conflict had gone down, somebody felt like it was their duty to take you off of this earth before you fully experienced it to begin with. And that's just unfortunate. You know, I speak of the homie Jota. We're about to be celebrating, and thank God it was no like foul play, no nothing that could leave like that sick feeling in your stomach. Unfortunately, I have been affected by loved ones who were lost and to violence. And that one just felt completely different than everything else. You could lose partners from old age, from accidents, from, you know, whatever it may be. But when it's somebody that's been taken and there's people that are to blame for it, it's a whole different feeling. Can't imagine what this family is going through, losing their 17-year-old child. A brother, I'm sure, obviously a son. Leaving behind so many others. And just things will never be the same. I just don't understand how you could be of the mindset that somebody's done something that you got to take them off this earth at 17. Now, are there certain instances where I could see somebody getting pushed to that point? I guess so. I mean, violence against their family, some type of sexual assault against children or whatever it may be. Of course, at that point, you know, all gloves is off and whatever happens, happens. And I know that don't sound the most mature, but all that shit goes out the window when you talk about fucking with somebody's loved ones. I don't know the details behind this recent story, and I don't know what's going to come out in the future, but I do know that law enforcement was asking for people's help in the case. More often than not, they don't really receive any, and who's to know if there's anybody who even has anything to share, but definitely want to send condolences and love out to that family and hope that they're able to find some type of closure at some point somehow. Not to say that things will ever be the same, because of course they will not, but you know, just they gotta be sick, man. Gotta be sick to their stomach. Let's go on some lighter news. Shout out to the man, the myth, the legend, Jake Dilla. February 10th, 2024, Dilla Day in LA. This February 20th will be dubbed, February 10th will be dubbed Dilla Day in Los Angeles. Mateo Street, Los Angeles, California will be the site for the celebration of the legendary artist and producer. Performing will be fellow Detroit residents and artists, Slum Village, featuring J-Rock, local vendors, a donut pop-up, and Dilla's mother herself, Ma Dukes, will be in attendance. Now the flyer says Slum Village, J-Rock, and friends. It'll be interesting to see who may be coming out and showing love for Dilla. Definitely would have loved to be able to go pull up on that, but who's to say I won't, you know what I mean? But February 10th, 2024, if you're in the area, definitely make it out to Mateo Street. Show some love for the guy, Jay Dilla. His loved ones, his family, his friends. More shows to announce, man. Las Vegas is definitely going to be turning up for the Super Bowl. Shaq has announced he's got a Vegas show coming titled Shaq's Funhouse. Also, taking place on February 9th, Diplo, Lil Wayne, among some of the performers. You know, Shaq does his DJ thing. Looks like this is taking place at the Wynn Nightlife on the same weekend of the big game. Speaking of the Super Bowl, man, so those of y'all who purchased squares for the Super Bowl pool, they have been sold. Sold all 50 of those squares, so I will keep y'all in touch and in tune with when we're going to be doing the live number selection. And handle that on a few of our different social medias, whether it be Facebook Live, Instagram Live, from a few different accounts, so everybody's able to see exactly how the process goes down. First quarter prize, $100. Second quarter prize, $150. Third quarter, $250. And the final score being $400 off of your $20. Can't be mad at that. Don't really want to get into any sports issues because we definitely got episode 12 of UAF Sports coming very soon. Patreon subscribers, y'all been vibing with those. Let me know how you feeling. Also, I did a pick the Patreon pool, poll last weekend. Everybody, 100% of the people responded. It was over 38, 50, I think it ended at about 50 responses. 100% of the people said Married as Fuck episode. I hear y'all. This Saturday is definitely going to be about the brother Joe, but immediately following that, me and the wife are going to get together at some point this weekend, maybe on a Friday night, give y'all another Married as Fuck episode. That is going to be Patreon exclusive. Sorry, y'all. That's where the party at. Just want to make sure I gave y'all the normal DSPs a little something to listen to. We'll definitely be back with a more structured show in the near future. Until next time, find what makes you happy and return the favor. I'm going to holler at y'all later. Go on.
Unprofessional as Fuck Podcast.